He's really had a hell of a start in picking up the system in the run game. His movement and quickness is like we thought it would be. So he's trying to work as hard as he can in pass protection, which is not so uncommon for like every offensive lineman. He's really established his identity of who he is as a player as quickly as you could.
All right, so that was Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, back a while ago in minicamp, talking about the number one pick, Chris Lindstrom, about how he's great in run blocking, and we certainly saw that on tape out of Boston College, being able to not only get from the first level, but up to the second level and take out linebackers.
He's a beast.
And was a great run blocker, but even Dan Quinn admitting that, you know, look, like a lot of young offensive linemen, he's got to work on pass pro, and because of that, that's become a little bit of an issue right now for the Atlanta Falcons to address, but that's why they have camp and why we have preseason and whatnot. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And the offensive line is a little bit of an issue because at right tackle next to Lindstrom tonight, Ty Sambrello is out. He's got a little bit of an injury. And we know that Caleb McGarry with his heart issue is not back yet. So we're down to like the third string, and the Falcons are going to be Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, is going to be shifting Matt Gano over to the right tackle. They'll be putting some other people in. And so the right side of the line will have Gano and Lindstrom.
Stripper names, because he got worked like a shift last week. But hopefully that's not the case. I don't see Coach Quinn having him out there, you know, with your $100 million quarterback getting him killed. You know, he's gonna have to step his game up a little bit. You know, and like Randy pointed out, I'd be remiss not to point out the fact that Randy McMichael pointed out that he did trip. And, you know, when Quinnen Williams ran him over, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't. Okay, it was, but I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Going into this game, knowing what they know, they're not gonna allow him to get teed off on. You know, they're not gonna allow him to go out there and have the same kind of game that he had last week. And with that being said, if he has any pride about himself, he's not gonna go out there and have that kind of game.
Falcons play the Redskins tonight. Of course, we'll have live coverage on your home of the Falcons on the game. Our coverage begins at 5:30 with the pregame show with Paul Crane and Harry Douglas at the final home game of the regular of the preseason, I should say, before the regular season home opener, which will be week two against Philadelphia on a Sunday night game. Talking about the offensive line, because it was an issue against the Jets last week on two fronts. One, there were some injury issues, Caleb McGarry being out and James Carpenter being out. The Carpenter will be back tonight at that potentially at that left guard spot. And two, you know, they haven't settled in. Actually, three, if you count the fact that Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator of the New York Jets last week, decided that it would be a good time to trot out his, like, full package of stunts and blitzes like it was a regular season opener and throw everything at the Atlanta Falcons, who weren't really, I don't think, prepared necessarily. I'm not saying they weren't prepared, but I don't think they were prepared for, okay, we're going to get the full package tonight. I mean, usually in the preseason, that kind of an unspoken rule, you don't do that. But
you know what, John? I know that's what you've been running with. That probably ain't even their full package. I would venture to say that's not even nowhere near what they're going to run during the regular season. Greg Williams has a treasure trove of defenses they're going to run. Yeah, he's going to that. Like, he just has those dominant horses up front that you could do that with. Like, a lot of that, you know, they were blitzing, but a lot of that was just physically out, just out muscling folks. That's what a lot of that was. Now, they did bring some blitzes, but they physically dominated up front.
Paul Alexander is a name you probably don't know, because not many people know assistant coaches in the NFL, but for a long, long time, like near two decades, he was a offensive line coach in the NFL and was well-respected in that regard. And for whatever reason, on SiriusXM, they were asking him about Chris Lindstrom, and Paul Alexander, who was at Cincinnati with a bunch of star linemen, said that Lindstrom looks stout, he looks aware, and he's going to be a good player. And then the butt came in, okay? And the butt came in, and Alexander said, I saw a little bit of nervous Nelly because of two pressures. He took bad sets for guys. This goes to the Dan Quinn thing about working on pass protection, and he talked about how he was having a hard time picking up the who I should block kind of thing, and not necessarily panicking, but isn't that natural for an offensive lineman, especially a young offensive lineman, when he's seeing things at game speed in an NFL game that he's never seen before?
That comes with repetition. You know, you're playing against elite athletes at this level. Yeah, sometimes, and if you don't know the protection, if you're not that familiar with the protection or you're not comfortable with that protection, Yeah, it comes a little bit of that, especially when you have like cross dogs and things of that nature. Cross dogs are like, say, if the linebacker, two linebackers are blitzing the same hole and who you got to pick up, or if you're passing somebody off. That's natural. But that just comes with working with people. Like, that's what that is. That's something that over time you can get better at. That's nothing that I hear and think that, oh, my gosh, he has trouble picking up blitzes. Most rookies do. Most rookie offensive linemen do, especially when you have, you know, guys blitzing and you have different protections that you run for different games. And the protection could change every play. Like, you could come up to the huddle and say the quarterback in the huddle calls the protection. The center might come up and see something different and change the protection. And he wants to put those offensive linemen in the best position to block whatever it is. So he changes the protection because, okay, this protection helps better block what I'm seeing. You have to be aware of that. And that's the biggest thing about playing offensive line, because everything can – you could go up to the line and you could change the play three times within that cadence. Like, you could change the routes that people are running. You could change the protection. Like, I've been up to the line of scrimmage, and I hear a quarterback come, and we'll be in a certain formation, and he'll say, easy, easy, easy. That's saying that they're about to change the protection, or he's trying to figure out what coverage we're in. So with that, he'll probably change the protection. He might change the routes. He might even change the whole play. So, yeah, with all that, like, as an offensive lineman, that's why I say playing that position, you have to know – you have to be in sync. You just can't lock in and go for the most part. You have to – it could change at the drop of a hat. And you even might have some plays where the protection might be called, but somebody might need some assistance somewhere. You might have – might be a fan protection. And in fan protection, you basically – you protect your area. And if nobody's coming, you go help somebody else out. You go help out the center, or you help out the tackle. It all depends. Or it might be a delay, dog. You got to watch for all of that. That just comes with playing the game.
Yeah, and it's talking about the number one pick, Chris Lindstrom. Now, Dan Quinn wasn't responding to this guy, Alexander, so much as he was just talking about Lindstrom. This is a much more recent. This is from this week. Coach Quinn talking about Lindstrom, saying that if there's a mistake that's made, he's able to come back, see the correction, take it, and apply it. He's got a rare mindset of getting better, of improvement. Now, that's what we expect. We expect that Chris Lindstrom is going to be fine. We expect he's going to grow. But at the moment, he's making rookie mistakes, and that's, again, expected. But the problem with that is you don't have McGarry over there to your right. You have Tyson Braylor, who's now kind of dinged up. Should we larger picture here, Hugh? Carpenter's going to be back, and he's going to be playing with Brown at the left guard position tonight. They're still battling for that position, but I think a lot of people think that Carpenter has the inside track to be the starter between Mack and Matthews. Should we be concerned at large that the line isn't quite as settled as we hoped it would be this late in camp in the preseason?
Yeah, but that's because of injuries. That's because guys have not been out there and gotten the repetition that they need. But this is also football. That's why Coach Quinn has depth on the offensive line. And if you look at it, Coach Quinn, for the most part, likes to have guys somewhat interchangeable. And being able to play multiple positions at any given time and knowing different protections for multiple positions makes you that more valuable. Now, as a fan of the game and watching the game, when you see musical chairs at the offensive line, it makes you uneasy. I give you that. No question about it. It makes you real uneasy, especially when we have visuals. We all got the visual of Matt Ryan's head bouncing off that turf at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We saw that, and that's all we've been talking about. Yeah, all of that. We saw offensive lineman ass over tea kettle all over the place. Yeah, that's something to be concerned about. No question about that. But going into the season, if the offensive line is not where it needs to be, then that's up to the coach to make adjustments to put them in the best position to be successful. So that means short intermediate passes. That means running the ball a lot better. That means working the count as far as the plays you run that put you in a better position to go for the deep ball if you're trying to throw that. But in order to do all of that, John, you have to be able to run the football. But, yeah, I mean, if you're asking me questions, yeah, is there some concern? Yes. But it's the offense. Dirk Cutter's job is to put that offense, regardless of its flaws or its warts or whatever it is, His job is to put them in position to be successful regardless of who's out there playing.
And you're going to have to kind of, you know, do this in a quick fashion to get, you know, this kind of settled, because when your first two games are against Minnesota and Philadelphia, two of the best defensive lines in the NFL, and you know it's going to be coming at you at 100 miles an hour in the regular season, you don't have time to waste. We're talking about the Falcons as they get ready for the Redskins game tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. One quick point I just noticed about the Redskins here. Actually, I just happened to look this up in the break, Hugh. Just a couple of notes here. Darius Geis is going to play tonight. Darius Geis, you know, the stud from LSU, the running back, hadn't played for the Redskins yet because of he tore his ACL before his rookie year. So he hadn't had a chance to play at all. So Darius Geis is going to be back. So Washington fans all excited about Darius Geis being in their backfield. And then, of course, Dwayne Haskins, I think, is going to start tonight for Washington. And they're talking about how many touchdowns is Dwayne Haskins going to throw. He's listed as third at their depth chart. And I have a question for you. If you're the Redskins and considering, why would you start Colt McCoy? I mean,
because he's been in the league a lot longer. You don't want to traumatize your young quarterback. If that's the case, it's not. He'll probably end up being the starter in the fourth, maybe the fifth game of the season. But no, you can start Colt. Colt's been there a while. Colt's been in that system. He knows the system. You're talking about a guy who's comfortable with the system. He's comfortable making the adjustments. He probably has more command of the huddle right now than Dwayne Haskins. All of that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not going to argue those points. It's just that Colt's a backup quarterback and not exactly a starter in this league.
Yeah, that's been proven. But right now, he's probably their best chance of winning this early in the season.
Yeah, Oren makes a good point. No Trent Williams. And we still don't know what's going to happen with Trent, do we?
Trent, I can tell you what's not going to happen is he's not going to put that Redskins uniform if he can help it on. He's going to put it on.
You ain't going to put that hat on anymore. Yeah, the Redskins in town, they're kind of interesting because I know there's a lot of Redskins fans in this area, so I imagine there's going to be quite a preseason crowd because they don't get a chance to see. I knew that before the Carolina Panthers existed in Carolina, North Carolina was Redskins country. It was just because and I had to have it explained to me why it was Redskins country when I moved up there in the late 80s. It's because of the nature of the way the television contracts work, you in terms of regional play, okay? And so before North Carolina ever had a professional team, they were in the Washington Redskins. So from 19 whenever television began to forever, they got the Redskins games. That's what they got. So all those people grew up as Redskins fans. They didn't get the Falcons games. They got the Redskins games. So there are boatloads of Redskins fans in North Carolina, and they don't get a chance to see their team very often. So it wouldn't surprise me if there are quite a few of them tonight at the stadium.
Most Redskins fans I've met are from that DMV area. Because every time they talk, they're like, I'm a Redskins fan. Or they say Merlin, I'm from Merlin. Or whatever, they got them R's, where they roll them R's. Yeah, and they like that mumble sauce and go-go music. Those are the ones that I've met. Like, they're diehard Redskins fans. I mean, they've been Redskins fans since day one. Because that's what their parents were. Those are the ones that I've met. Now, obviously, there's a lot more than just that. But the ones that I've come in contact with, they've always been from up that way. And they've always been diehard Redskins fans.
So the Redskins and Falcons, again, our coverage begins at 5:30 tonight. Game is at 7:30. One chance for somebody to jump in here is Petrie City and Scott. Hey, Scott.
Scott.
You worried about the offensive line, Scott?
A little bit. I haven't heard a lot about this heart condition that McGarry has. So the lack of information is a little concerning. And, you know, the way the game has evolved the last few years with the passing being the predominant focus on offense, the line between a left tackle and a right tackle is shrinking. It used to be your left tackle was your cornerstone pass protector, and the right tackle was a guy like Kyle Turley who was going to go out there and knock some heads in the run game. But now those guys almost have to be equal in pass protection, too. So it's a little concerning that, you know, your best option right now is Tyson Barrow.
Yeah, tackle is a concern, and the Falcons are trying to figure out, you know, the best way to do that. And one of the ways, of course, Scott, that Hugh was talking about, not to put words in your mouth, Hugh, but you can go to a protection package that includes a tight end on that side of the line. And that
there's a lot you can do.
There's a lot you can do.
I mean, there's a lot you can do. You're not going to – bottom line is this. You're not about to let them tee off on your quarterback. That'll get you fired.
National Football League tonight. Falcons just one of a number of games on Thursday night. As we count down to this dress rehearsal night for most teams in the NFL, it means a lot of the big stars will be on the field this evening as opposed to the rest of the regular season. We'll look at some of the NFL headlines as we continue on this Falcons Thursday, Falcons game day on Sports Radio 92 on the game after a CBS Sports Minute.
He's really had a hell of a start in picking up the system in the run game. His movement and quickness is like we thought it would be. So he's trying to work as hard as he can in pass protection, which is not so uncommon for like every offensive lineman. He's really established his identity of who he is as a player as quickly as you could.
All right, so that was Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, back a while ago in minicamp, talking about the number one pick, Chris Lindstrom, about how he's great in run blocking, and we certainly saw that on tape out of Boston College, being able to not only get from the first level, but up to the second level and take out linebackers.
He's a beast.
And was a great run blocker, but even Dan Quinn admitting that, you know, look, like a lot of young offensive linemen, he's got to work on pass pro, and because of that, that's become a little bit of an issue right now for the Atlanta Falcons to address, but that's why they have camp and why we have preseason and whatnot. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And the offensive line is a little bit of an issue because at right tackle next to Lindstrom tonight, Tyson Brelo is out. He's got a little bit of an injury. And we know that Caleb McGarry with his heart issue is not back yet. So we're down to like the third string, and the Falcons are going to be Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, is going to be shifting Matt Gano over to the right tackle. They'll be putting some other people in. And so the right side of the line will have... Yeah, we'll have
about
Gano and Lindstrom.
Stripper names, because he got worked like a shift last week. But hopefully that's not the case. I don't see Coach Quinn having him out there, you know, with your $100 million quarterback getting him killed. You know, he's gonna have to step his game up a little bit. You know, and like Randy pointed out, I'd be remiss not to point out the fact that Randy McMichael pointed out that he did trip, and you know, when Quinn and Williams ran him over, It wasn't that bad. It wasn't. Okay, it was, but I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Going into this game, knowing what they know, they're not gonna allow him to get teed off on. You know, they're not gonna allow him to go out there and have the same kind of game that he had last week. And with that being said, if he has any pride about himself, he's not gonna go out there and have that kind of game.
Falcons play the Redskins tonight, of course. We'll have live coverage on your home of the Falcons on the game. Our coverage begins at 5:30 with the pregame show with Paul Crane and Harry Douglas at the final home game of the regular of the preseason, I should say, before the regular season home opener, which will be week two against Philadelphia on a Sunday night game. Talking about the offensive line, because it was an issue against the Jets last week on two fronts. One, there were some injury issues, Caleb McGarry being out and James Carpenter being out. The Carpenter will be back tonight at that potentially at that left guard spot. And two, you know, they haven't settled in. Actually, three, if you count the fact that Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator of the New York Jets last week, decided that it would be a good time to trot out his, like, full package of stunts and blitzes like it was a regular season opener and throw everything at the Atlanta Falcons, who weren't really, I don't think, prepared necessarily. I'm not saying they weren't prepared, but I don't think they were prepared for, okay, we're going to get the full package tonight. I mean, usually in the preseason, that kind of an unspoken rule, you don't do that. But
you know what, John? I know that's what you've been running with. That probably ain't even their full package. I would venture to say that's not even nowhere near what they're going to run during the regular season. Greg Williams has a treasure trove of defenses they're going to run. Yeah, he's going that, like, he just has those dominant horses up front that you could do that with. Like, a lot of that, you know, they were blitzing, but a lot of that was just physically out, just out-muscling folks. That's what a lot of that was. Now, they did bring some blitzes, but they physically dominated up front.
Paul Alexander is a name you probably don't know because not many people know assistant coaches in the NFL, but for a long, long time, like near two decades, he was an offensive line coach in the NFL and was well-respected in that regard. And for whatever reason, on SiriusXM, they were asking him about Chris Lindstrom, and Paul Alexander, who was at Cincinnati with a bunch of star linemen, said that Lindstrom looks stout, he looks aware, and he's going to be a good player. And then the butt came in, okay? And the butt came in, and Alexander said, I saw a little bit of nervous Nelly because of two pressures. He took bad sets for guys. This goes to the Dan Quinn thing about working on pass protection. And he talked about how he was having a hard time picking up the who I should block kind of thing, and not necessarily panicking, but isn't that natural for an offensive lineman, especially a young offensive lineman, when he's seeing things at game speed in an NFL game that he's never seen before?
That comes with repetition. You know, you're playing against elite athletes at this level. Yeah, sometimes, and if you don't know the protection, if you're not that familiar with the protection or you're not comfortable with that protection, yeah, it comes a little bit of that, especially when you have, like, cross dogs and things of that nature. Cross dogs are like, say, if the linebacker, two linebackers are blitzing the same hole and who you got to pick up or if you're passing somebody off. That's natural. But that just comes with working with people. Like, that's what that is. That's something that over time you can get better at. That's nothing that I hear and think that, oh, my gosh, he has trouble picking up blitzes. Most rookies do. Most rookie offensive linemen do, especially when you have, you know, guys blitzing and you have different protections that you run for different games. And the protection could change every play. Like, you could come up to the huddle and say the quarterback in the huddle calls the protection. The center might come up and see something different and change the protection. And he wants to put those offensive linemen in the best position to block whatever it is. So he changes the protection because, okay, this protection helps better block what I'm seeing. You have to be aware of that. And that's the biggest thing about playing offensive line, because everything can – you could go up to the line and you could change the play three times within that cadence. Like, you could change the routes that people are running. You could change the protection. Like, I've been up to the line of scrimmage, and I hear a quarterback come, and we'll be in a certain formation, and he'll say, easy, easy, easy. That's saying that they're about to change the protection, or he's trying to figure out what coverage we're in. So with that, he'll probably change the protection. He might change the routes. He might even change the whole play. So, yeah, with all that, like, as an offensive lineman, that's why I say playing that position – you have to know, you have to be in sync. You just can't lock in and go for the most part. You have to, it could change at the drop of a hat. And you even might have some plays where the protection might be called, but somebody might need some assistance somewhere. You might have, might be a fan protection. And in fan protection, you basically protect your area. And if nobody's coming, you go help somebody else out. You go help out the center or you help out the tackle. It all depends. Or it might be a delayed dog. You got to watch for all of that. That just comes with playing the game.
Yeah, that's talking about the number one pick, Chris Lindstrom. Now, Dan Quinn wasn't responding to this guy, Alexander, so much as he was just talking about Lindstrom. This is a much more recent. This is from this week. Coach Quinn talking about Lindstrom, saying that if there's a mistake that's made, he's able to come back, see the correction, take it, and apply it. He's got a rare mindset of getting better, of improvement. Now, that's what we expect. We expect that Chris Lindstrom is going to be fine. We expect he's going to grow. But at the moment, he's making rookie mistakes, and that's, again, expected. But the problem with that is you don't have McGarry over there to your right. You have Tyson Braylor, who's now kind of dinged up. Should we – larger picture here, Hugh. Carpenter's going to be back, and he's going to be playing with Brown at the left guard position tonight. They're still battling for that position, but I think a lot of people think that Carpenter has the inside track to be the starter between Mack and Matthews. Should we be concerned at large that the line isn't quite as settled as we hoped it would be this late in camp in the preseason?
Yeah, but that's because of injuries. That's because guys have not been out there and gotten the repetition that they need. But this is also football. That's why Coach Quinn has depth on the offensive line. And if you look at it, Coach Quinn, for the most part, likes to have guys somewhat interchangeable. And being able to play multiple positions at any given time and knowing different protections for multiple positions makes you that more valuable. Now, as a fan of the game and watching the game, when you see musical chairs at the offensive line, it makes you uneasy. I give you that. No question about it. It makes you real uneasy, especially when we have visuals. We all got the visual of Matt Ryan's head bouncing off that turf at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We saw that, and that's all we've been talking about. Yeah, all of that. We saw offensive linemen ass over tea kettle all over the place. Yeah, that's something to be concerned about. No question about that. But going into the season, if the offensive line is not where it needs to be, then that's up to the coach to make adjustments to put them in the best position to be successful. So that means short intermediate passes. That means running the ball a lot better. That means working the count as far as the plays you run that puts you in a better position to go for the deep ball if you're trying to throw that. But in order to do all of that, John, you have to be able to run the football. But, yeah, I mean, if you're asking me questions, yeah, is there some concern? Yes. But it's the offense. Dirk Cutter's job is to put that offense, regardless of its flaws or its warts or whatever it is, his job is to put them in position to be successful regardless of who's out there playing.
And you're going to have to kind of, you know, do this in a quick fashion to get, you know, this kind of settled, because when your first two games are against Minnesota and Philadelphia, two of the best defensive lines in the NFL, and you know it's going to be coming at you at 100 miles an hour in the regular season, you don't have time to waste. We're talking about the Falcons as they get ready for the Redskins game tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. One quick point I just noticed about the Redskins here. I just happened to look this up at the break, Hugh. Just a couple of notes here. Darius Geis is going to play tonight. Darius Geis, you know, the stud from LSU, the running back, hadn't played for the Redskins yet because of he tore his ACL before his rookie year. So he hadn't had a chance to play at all. So Darius Geis is going to be back. So Washington fans all excited about Darius Geis being in their backfield. And then, of course, Dwayne Haskins, I think, is going to start tonight for Washington. And they're talking about how many touchdowns is Dwayne Haskins going to throw. He's listed as third at their depth chart. And I have a question for you. If you're the Redskins and considering – why would you start Colt McCoy? I mean,
because he's been in the league a lot longer. You don't want to traumatize your young quarterback. If that's the case, it's not. He'll probably end up being a starter in the fourth, maybe the fifth game of the season. But no, you can start Colt. Colt's been there a while. Colt's been in that system. He knows the system. You're talking about a guy who's comfortable with the system. He's comfortable making the adjustments. He probably has more command of the huddle right now than Dwayne Haskins. All of that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not going to argue those points. It's just that Colt's a backup quarterback and not exactly a starter in this league.
Yeah, that's been proven. But right now, he's probably their best chance of winning this early in the season.
Yeah, Oren makes a good point. No Trent Williams. And we still don't know what's going to happen with Trent, do we?
Trent, I can tell you what's not going to happen is he's not going to put that Redskins uniform if he can help it on. He's going to put it on.
You ain't going to put that hat on anymore. Yeah, the Redskins in town, they're kind of interesting because I know there's a lot of Redskins fans in this area, so I imagine there's going to be quite a preseason crowd because they don't get a chance to see. I knew that before the Carolina Panthers existed in Carolina, North Carolina was Redskins country. It was just because and I had to have it explained to me why it was Redskins country when I moved up there in the late 80s. It's because of the nature of the way the television contracts work, you in terms of regional play, okay? And so before North Carolina ever had a professional team, they were in the Washington Redskins. So from 19 whenever television began to forever, they got the Redskins games. That's what they got. So all those people grew up as Redskins fans. They didn't get the Falcons games. They got the Redskins games. So there are boatloads of Redskins fans in North Carolina, and they don't get a chance to see their team very often. So it wouldn't surprise me if there are quite a few of them tonight at the stadium.
Most Redskins fans I've met are from that DMV area, because every time they talk, they're like, I'm a Redskins fan. Or they say Merlin. I'm from Merlin or whatever. They got them R's where they roll them R's. Yeah, and they like that mumble sauce and go-go music. Those are the ones that I've met. Like, they're diehard Redskins fans. I mean, they've been Redskins fans since day one, because that's what their parents were. Those are the ones that I've met. Now, obviously, there's a lot more than just that, but the ones that I've come in contact with, they've always been from up that way, and they've always been diehard Redskins fans.
So the Redskins and Falcons, again, our coverage begins at 5:30 tonight. Game is at 7:30. One chance for somebody to jump in here is Peachtree City and Scott. Hey, Scott.
Scott.
You worried about the offensive line, Scott?
A little bit. I haven't heard a lot about this heart condition that McGarry has. So the lack of information is a little concerning. And, you know, the way the game has evolved the last few years with the passing being the predominant focus on offense, the line between a left tackle and a right tackle is shrinking. It used to be your left tackle was your cornerstone pass protector, and the right tackle was a guy like Kyle Turley who was going to go out there and knock some heads in the run game. But now those guys almost have to be equal in pass protection, too. So it's a little concerning that, you know, your best option right now is Tyson Barrow.
Yeah, it is tackle is a concern, and the Falcons are trying to figure out, you know, the best way to do that. And one of the ways, of course, Scott, that Hugh was talking about, not to put words in your mouth, Hugh, but you can't go to a protection package that includes a tight end on that side of the line. And that
there's a lot you can do.
There's a lot you can do.
I mean, there's a lot you can do. You're not going to – bottom line is this. You're not about to let them tee off on your quarterback. That'll get you fired.
National Football League tonight. Falcons just one of a number of games on Thursday night. As we count down to this dress rehearsal night for most teams in the NFL, it means a lot of the big stars will be on the field this evening as opposed to the rest of the regular season. We'll look at some of the NFL headlines as we continue on this Falcons Thursday, Falcons game day on Sports Radio 92 on the game after a CBS Sports Minute.